Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
Comedian Vince Barry in studio.
Hey, good morning.
Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
A surprise news anchor reports on a man shot by a dog.
Dog?
Let's go to the news report.
We want to get you to some breaking news just out of our newsroom here at Fox 13. A man is in the hospital after being shot in the leg overnight. Memphis police say he was shot by his dog. Seriously. I don't think that's right.
Oh.
This happened.
A bit of a banana shot my paw.
That deserves a long pause.
Yes, it does.
He's like, I don't want to Ron Burgundy myself,
yeah,
but I have to read what I'm seeing.
Am I reading this correctly?
Dog.
Nice.
Seriously. I don't think that's right. This happened just before 4 a.m. at a home on Whitney Avenue in Fraser. Wow. Police say the man was lying in the bed with a girl with a gun on the bed. Police say his dog jumped up on the bed, got his paw stuck in the trigger.
No.
And ended up hitting the trigger, shooting the man in the thigh. Wow.
Oh. Oh. No one's going for a walk that day. Yeah, he might just crap in the house, man. That's it. You're not going for a walk today.
Hey, get the dog a litter box. You're not walking.
Right.
Well, those little pads. Right. Yeah. The wee-wee pad.
Where are the treats, damn you? Where are they? Give me the treats now. Do it. It's on you.
Wow.
Who is in more pain, the guy from the shot or the dog from the sound?
Right.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, right, because they can hear a thing really good.
Jesus.
Yeah. They can hear you thinking about a cookie. Like, hi, how'd you get
they
so
They're both
quick?
Surprised.
Yeah. They're like, oh, hey.
Hey.
That boomstick goes boom. Wow.
That's what you get, though, for leaving a pistol laying around.
Were you an idiot?
On the bed.
On the bed.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing?
You learned your lesson now. You know, keep it someplace else.
I have a feeling this person didn't learn anything.
Right. No. Or possibly lost that gun now.
All right.
Yep.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
A dog.
That guy was skeptical from the very beginning. He was like, I didn't proofread this. Somebody sent it through. I'm just. We're figuring this out together live on the air.
That can't be right.
Yeah, that can't be right. Was such a great.
That was a disclaimer in case he was wrong.
In the leg overnight. Memphis police say he was shot by his dog. Seriously. I don't think that's right.
Did you hear something in the background?
Yes, I did. I just caught that. Oh, my God. Hold on. I got to see if I can boost that.
That was a cat.
Memphis police say he was shot by his dog. Seriously. I don't
It's like a cameraman or something laughing in the background.
Cat's like, fools, I made them think the dog did it.
Yeah, this is the one time you can blame it on the dog.
The cat put the gun on the bed. You're right. You can blame the dog this time. Yeah, this time it was the dog.
What a wacky situation.
Seriously. And the guy's gonna be fine.
Could have easily been avoided.
Yeah.
When I first read the headline, I pictured, I don't know if you remember from the 70s, that painting of the dogs
playing poker. Yes. Yep. And they all had different
hands. The card game went wrong and
exactly.
The human was close by.
Right.
Took a bullet.
Yep.
I don't think that's right.
Like Forrest Gump there. I don't think that's right.
No.
Shot by a dog. Good shot, though.
Right?
Lucky shot.
Yeah.
Well, unlucky? I don't know.
The other thing is the girl could have pulled the trigger and then they said, we're just going to blame the dog.
Could happen. Yeah. Right.
Because you can't go to the ER with a gunshot wound without an investigation.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. But the dog, what do you do? You can question the dog. He's not going to do anything.
Who's a good boy?
Right. Right.
Right. We're not going to be tied up in court for a year.
All right. For two treats, who really shot you?
99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. A tornado hit a news station in Florida during a live broadcast. Let's listen to the entire report.
And pull it out. Do you see that area where the rain? See that? That could be it, guys. Bring that camera up full. Okay. This is a live view from our TV station of what may be, at the very least, it's torrential rain crossing I-4 right now. We could be looking at a tornado on camera. Look at those trees. blowing around. Okay, bring the camera up, guys, if you can. Zoom out. Can you zoom out? This is a look at the live camera of a tornado, which could be passing by our station right now. Okay, there's debris. We've got debris on. Okay, take shelter. Everybody in the Fox 35 building, get to your safe space.
By the way, I'm already in the car down the road.
Yes, exactly. I'm wasting some time.
Right, back to you, Chaz.
Right.
Chaz,
you're right.
Right.
And then you see my car in the camera. It's like,
is that him? Maybe a camera on the car speaking out of the parking lot. Me, you take a really tight hole, so you're. I found him. He's in there.
Wow.
He's emitting gases.
There's something about a tornado.
Yeah.
Those are really scary.
You're helpless.
Yeah, they're unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You know,
nothing you could do.
It can hit Vince and not hit me. That's how tight those things can be sometimes.
I've seen Twister. I know how that goes.
Yeah, Cal.
We got Cal.
Cal. Yep. Moo.
Is there more?
Oh, yeah.
Under your desk, if you're not in a designated area, we're catching debris right now on the roof. Debris is on the roof right now. We're hearing, you can see the debris flying there on the camera. This is a tornado.
If this guy doesn't get an award.
Yeah. He should, yeah.
For not leaving.
Seriously.
And calling this thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Debris on the roof.
Yeah.
Above my head yet.
It's right there, yeah. And he's still standing there calm as anything.
It's
directing
amazing.
Everybody.
Yeah, he's telling people to go find your safe space. You find a safe space, dude. You're getting hit by a tornado,
and
too.
By the way, he's also wearing his full jacket. He didn't get his jacket off. His sleeves aren't rolled up, and he's got his tie on.
Right. Typically, in weather situations, they take the jacket
That's
off,
right.
they roll the sleeves up, and
right.
then we know there's a weather situation.
Yeah, if they're in their underwear, forget about it. We're dead. Oh, my God, he's in a cheese man. We're doomed!
They do. They sort of start to look like the stressed out detective.
Yes.
I'm like week two of a case. They can't get the break in.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do.
They're a little effed up. Oh my God, we're dead.
You know, it's kind of a cliche, but an important one, because if you have the volume off and you look up and you see the weather guy with the jacket off and the sleeves rolled up,
like, ooh.
You're like, something's going on.
Yeah. I should be paying more attention to this.
I got
to
turn this volume up.
All the signs are there. He's half dressed.
Yeah. Seek shelter immediately. Get under your desks, guys. Anchors under the desks. Everybody get under the desks. Okay, that was it. We're still in the debris zone. Everybody get in. Everybody get in the studio. Come on in, guys. Okay, we got power flickering out. That's a tornado. This is a confirmed tornado. National Weather Service, if you're listening, this is a confirmed tornado. Right over the Lake Mary studios. This is heading into Lake Mary and Sanford right now. Get to the ground level, an interior room, away from the windows. This is a very serious situation. This is a real live tornado. It just hit our station. We saw debris flying. It's heading into Lake Mary, going right down Lake Mary Boulevard into Sanford. If you're watching from Winter Springs, if you're watching from Sanford, get below shelter. We're in a fortified room here. Can we swing the camera right?
That are on his staff on that show are very thankful that he is so good.
Yeah.
Because if he was blowing it, they'd say, okay, Jim, we're going to you.
Yeah.
And then now Jim's on.
Yep.
Like, damn it.
Oh.
Now I got to sit at this desk. I like being under it.
Yeah, I want to be under it.
Yep.
Under it's very nice.
I'm not coming out.
Yeah, because if this guy starts blowing, it's like, all right, we're going to Jim. Jim, in 3, 2, go.
Yeah, I'm down here. This is where you should be. I'm down here where he just told me to be.
That's right. He did. He said to be down there.
And quite frankly, my contract's up in 3 months, and I'm not going to lose my head because of you. I'm moving up north.
Wow, this guy's really good.
Very good.
We should try to get him on.
That'd be cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Why not?
Holy crap.
He's directing the cameras. He's directing the people in the studios.
Totally
he's directing the producers.
Control.
He's talking to the National Weather Service.
He's talking to the citizens
he's
at large.
He's warning the towns that it's coming towards. He's awesome.
He owned that tornado.
I will go as far to say he's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's risking his own
life.
This
is heroic. He's risking his life to save those of his coworkers and all of his viewers.
If that roof goes, he's a dead duck.
He saw a camera shot of debris on the roof.
Coming towards, yeah, that wasn't Santa. Yeah.
No. The first.
How cool would that have been? Like a reindeer and Santa?
I'll get you, my pretty.
Whoa, 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 reindeer and Santa, like, twisting in the wind.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Presents everywhere.
Presents flying.
There goes my Furby.
Stuff everywhere.
Wow, this guy's amazing.
Yep.
Can we swing the camera right? Is the camera still working on our Lake Mary cam?
It's frozen.
It's frozen. Okay, so we lost our Lake Mary cam. Okay. I've been doing this for a very long time. That's the first time a tornado has hit me while I'm doing the weather. Thank goodness for our facilities here at Fox 35 to keep us on the air and keep you apprised of the situation.
Wow.
Damn, jeez, man.
Hero.
Big time. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And he should get an award.
Absolutely.
And a raise.
Yep.
Yeah. He ended with thanking the station, the employers.
Right.
Right.
Raise.
What a pro.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
He owned it.
That was pretty good, man. Yeah.
He locked in because you heard the initial, I think that's like that first was like, uh-oh. Because he's
coming towards that. Like, he didn't want to be premature. He had to wait.
Yeah.
Right. Had to wait to make sure.
And he kept his composure. Like, you could tell he was breathing. Like, he was breathing really deep, but he kept his composure. He got all the info out. And
didn't puke. It was awesome.
If he did, you know, I wouldn't blame him.
I'd have puked.
But you're right. He's talking and making sense for the viewers, but in his mind, there's a checklist that he's going down. Like, okay, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this. This could be a tornado.
Right.
I can't say it yet. I got to wait. Oh, okay. We're getting closer. Here it is. Like,
yeah.
He had it down.
Yeah. They have Doppler. We have weather vomit.
There was, I forgot what the hell it was. It was Bernard Shaw on Headline News. There's a famous clip of him climbing under a desk when there was, I think they were broadcasting from, you know, like a war zone or something.
Uh-huh.
And there was, you know, an explosion and poof, under the desk he goes.
Yeah.
This guy, not under the desk.
Stood there.
Yeah. Call in if you've ever been caught in extreme weather. We just played a television news/weather broadcaster who had a tornado come right through the building.
Yeah.
And he remained on the air.
Stayed right there.
Pretty amazing.
Full jacket and everything.
All right, AJ, you said you had one.
Yeah. Years ago, 14 years old, went to Florida. Silver Springs was one of the tourist attractions over there on the glass bottom boat. And you went through something called an African ride. We were on there. And of course, Florida, 1 second, it's sunny. Next thing you know, the sky turns purple, like a, like a Prince video, and all hell breaks loose. Well, halfway through the ride, as we're going through this one area with crocodiles in the water, all of a sudden, sky turned purple, lightning hitting. I mean, it took out a tree right next to the boat. And that guy's like, oh, don't worry, the boat's aluminum. I'm like, I'm not worried about the boat being aluminum. I'm worried about the tree landing on us.
I'd still be worried about an aluminum boat, by the way.
Well, that's what he did to try and calm us down.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of monkeys on the trees. Oh, look at the monkeys. Look at the monkeys. My mom's yelling, fuck out the monkeys. All of a sudden, she became like Scarface. Fuck out the freaking monkeys, okay? Get to the car, okay? She's like yelling in Puerto Rican. Like a pack of firecrackers going off, right? He has no idea what she's saying. Trees are coming down. Lightning is hitting all around us. It almost like it was like we were a target, and the lightning was going for points, like shooting for cork.
Yeah.
It lasts about 15 friggin' minutes. I've never been so scared in my entire life. I thought for certain we were all bacon. And because the tree's going down, and now
all hell's breaking
and
loose.
Now the alligator's going into the water towards the boat. Somehow, okay,
they're like snack time.
Either I'm being barbecued, crushed by a tree, or eaten by an alligator. There were three options here.
Yeah.
And I got the last thing I've seen, my mom yelling in Spanish with arms flailing at the guy at the boat. Who, by the way, she scared the S out of and brought us in early. So thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
get that done.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Yep, never been there since.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Cooper! Terryville.
Ah, gentlemen, good morning. Good morning.
Hey.
Yep.
So, this story happened a while ago. I was younger than AJ's story. Living up in New Hampshire at the time, and, you know, like big multi-floor apartment buildings, and a tornado ripped down the road.
Ooh.
Terrified of tornadoes.
We all are.
And the funny thing is, I ended up sleeping through it, and I wasn't aware what happened until the next morning. And there were cars flipped on top of each other. I'm pretty sure I remember a tree through one of the windows.
Oh.
But the only thing I was really concerned about, because I didn't have any context for how dangerous this tornado could be, was I found a really cool stick, and I was like, oh, man, this will be a cool sword.
That's what it was all about.
My parents were, you know, trying to keep me from investigating more dangerous wreckage. But, yeah, this tornado ripped down the road. Never saw it. Didn't wake me up at all.
Man.
And then I found a really cool stick.
Maybe we hit him by debris. The stick hit in the head, knocked you out, and you woke up.
And I figured I'd do my part to help clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
See?
I was very civic-minded at 8.
Nice. See? You're a good person.
Thank you, Cooper.
Yeah.
You still have that stick? And we lost him.
Went to go get it.
Mike in Naugatuck.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning, Mike.
So this is going back a few, not too many years, but a few years ago when Florence hit down in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach area. I was actually a property manager down there for a few years, and I was lucky enough to actually be a property manager for one of the properties right on the water when they actually landed there. And let me tell you something. It was the scaredest I've ever been in my life due to the fact that the wind was so intense that if you were to open one door in the building, that the adjoining room would actually just completely just open up every door, every window, anything.
That's my house now.
It got to the point where when I was there sleeping, I actually wrote a will and sent it to my parents.
Wow.
That's how terrifying that landing was, because it hit us head on.
Wow. What'd you give them?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Did you have to rip it up?
Do you remember what was in the will? What did you have to give?
So at the time, I had two Harleys. I had my toolbox. I had my toolbox. I had my house and stuff like that. So
wow.
Oh,
pretty much wrote everything over to him.
Your parents like, oh, you made it.
I know. Yeah, they really missed out.
They were planning going to go riding. That
when
summer.
When you going back there?
Right, we're gonna go riding this summer.
Oh.
Wow, that's good. Well, when you're writing out a will, then
yeah,
you're scared.
But you got to live for your Harleys, man.
Yeah.
That's important.
Holy crap.
I hear you. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm with you.
All right, Mike. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, welcome. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Glad you're
talking about being caught in extreme weather. 203-882-9757. We've talked to some people who have been caught in extreme weather.
Yeah.
That tornado that went through Southbury in, was it 17 or 18? I think 18.
Yeah.
May of 18. There was a van.
Yes.
Of guys selling windows.
Yes.
And one of the people in the van was on their very first day.
Yeah.
And they drove down my street, the Project House street.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, maybe we should go. The sky's starting to look weird. So they went down, they turned back around, and now all hell is starting to break loose. They stop. A tree falls in front of them, right, about 20 feet to the right of my driveway.
Now you just can't leave.
Now you just can't leave. Yep, they stop, and they go right to my neighbor's house. As they're walking down to my neighbor's house, they hear the mother and the kids all screaming in the house. So they're like, nah, we'll go back to the van.
Right.
They go back in the van. They get in the van, and a massive 70-foot oak tree falls right on the van.
Damn, man. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And they're in the van?
They're in the van.
Oh, like a tube of toothpaste, yeah.
And it separated the front seat to the back seat.
Oh, right. Crap.
And if this went a foot in either direction, two people would be dead, either in the front or the back seat.
Right.
And one of the people in the van, it was their very first day on the job.
Yep. Hell of a first day, isn't it?
Hell of a first day.
Last day. I would have quit.
But luckily, I had M&Ms in my pocket.
We spoke to someone in the van after that, and I've posted a picture. It's an incredible sight. I did a whole video. It was amazing that, you know, we had a couple deaths in that. One was a heart attack, and one was, you know, not great.
Yeah.
But it, for the amount of destruction that storm did, it was amazing that... I don't want to say only, but we lost two people.
Yeah,
it could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaz and AJ. David.
Hi. Hey. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for calling.
So, yeah, this happened to me when I was 9. My family take a trip every year up the Appalachian Trail in August. And so we decide to hike the roughest part of the range, the Presidential Range up in New Hampshire. And so that includes Mount Washington, which is like the tallest mountain on the range.
Well, your car's climbed that. Good.
So needless to say, we're hiking this thing. First day, you know, beautiful, weather's fine, it's sunny and nice. Second day is the worst day ever. You've got this cloud rolling through the mountain. You can barely see like 5 feet in front of you. You've got wind going at like 100 plus miles an hour. You got rain going. It's going up the mountain rather than down the mountain. It's in your face. Like, you don't want to look up. You don't want to look down. You can't look anywhere. And needless to say, I remember going to my dad and looking at him and like, basically almost to tears going like, oh, my God, I want to go home. Like, please, why'd you take me here? And I remember vividly him pointing up the mountain. He said, Bud, home is that way.
We've got to go that way.
We're going up the hill.
We're heading to heaven.
Man.
But, yeah, needless to say, that trail is no joke. They've got some pretty interesting stories of people who have not made it. So you can imagine at 9 years old, you thinking the worst. Yep. So.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you made it.
That's a ballsy thing.
One hell of a story.
So. Yeah, it's true.
It's a ballsy thing. You're dead there. It worked.
Yep, it did.
Home is that way. Right. Up the mountain we go. Well, he has spoke to every major serial killer, and now he speaks to us.
All right. Wait, what?
Dr. Scott Bond on the show now. And by the way, when he calls in, our caller ID, you know, they change the last and the first name,
right.
So it comes up as Bond Scott.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. Calling from the grave.
Right.
Dr. Scott Bond, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Looks like you're going to have a pretty cool show coming up at District Music Hall in Norwalk. We're linked up. It's Saturday, March 22nd, so a week from Saturday.
Cool.
It's called Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond. Which serial killers have you actually spoken with?
Well, the two that I have gotten inside the minds of and really analyzed the most are David Berkowitz, the intimate son of Sam, and Dennis Rader, who gave himself the narcissistic brand name Bind, Torture, Kill. And it's those two that I spend considerable time in the first act walking through my journey into their madness and the monsters that they became. I've corresponded with others, but those are the two that I focus on. And I also go into quite a bit of detail on the very accurate profile that I put together of the unknown Long Island serial killer back in 2011 that happened to be dead on accurate with Rex Heuermann when he was arrested a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
good for you. I'm going to say a name, and then you give us kind of like their crimes, like how many victims, what their thing was, and how they got caught.
Okay.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer had 17 young male victims. And he is what is known as a hedonist lust killer. It was definitely sexual desire that led him. And ultimately, after he killed them, he actually mutilated, cooked, and ate some of his victims because he wanted to keep them with him forever.
Oh. That's why he ate them?
Yes. It was out of the need to retain them. He actually believed that he loved them, and he wanted them to be with him forever. And by eating them, he thought he would accomplish that.
How did he get caught?
He got caught because one of his victims escaped, and that's what led them to his front door.
But one got away, and the cops brought him back, and that one didn't make it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He lied. He
that's
said right. It was a relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
And the cops were just like, all right, here you go.
Yeah. No more further questions. Okay.
Yeah, we don't get involved in this. Here you go. You guys work this out.
That's tough.
And that guy didn't make it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his thing was he would go to gay bars and drug these guys. And that's how he would meet them.
Dennis Rader, BTK Dennis, Strangler.
Yeah, BTK. He, well, like I said, he's the one that I probably spent the most time getting inside that very, very twisted mind of his. And complete psychopath, narcissist, sadist. He was charged with 10 victims. I've always believed that there were many more, and he's actually being investigated for a number of cold cases in a tri-state area around Kansas right now. And he is what's known as a power and control killer. It was about the destruction, humiliation, and extinguishing human life that gave him his thrill. And in fact, he said to me when he saw, he was the strangler, as you said, and when he saw the light extinguish in his victim's eyes, he said in the moment that he saw that, he knew that he was God.
Oh, wow, man.
Okay.
Weepee.
He, there are recordings of this guy, like, documenting his crimes and the clinical way he just very matter-of-factly talks about, like, tying people up and murdering them.
Yeah.
It's like you would talk about painting your house. You know?
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. And that you brought up a really good point there, because he is the ultimate psychopath, and he's just detached from any emotion because he just can't feel it. And in fact, one of the ironies about these guys is when they're caught, it actually gives them an opportunity to brag and almost have like a new spotlight on them where they can shock the public and they can humiliate the victims' families. And that's what he did in court. He, as you said, he stood there and he basically, it was like an Oscar acceptance speech explained what he did.
Wow.
What do these killers have in common?
There's so many myths about serial killers. One of the myths is that they're all men. That's not true. They're all young white males. That's not true. And that they're all motivated by sex. That's not true. In fact, there is only one single common denominator for all serial killers. And that is that for these very rare individuals, the killing of complete strangers comes to satisfy a psychological hunger, almost like an internal lust or craving that builds up in them over many years through fantasy. It often starts around puberty, and it then reaches a tipping point in the early to mid-20s where they can't live in fantasy anymore, and they have to kill. And it's almost like a drug addiction. It gets stronger, and it demands more, which is why they tend to escalate and kill more quickly and need to up the fantasy. For example, David Berkowitz told me, he said that the fantasy of killing was always greater than the reality of it, so that there was a letdown ultimately from killing, and that's what drove him to kill and kill again, seeking that ultimate high.
The most serial killers are either psychopaths or sociopaths.
Correct.
What's the difference between those two things?
Great question. About 80% of all serial killers are either psychopaths or sociopaths. As such, they don't fit the label of either clinically or legally mentally ill, because they know right from wrong. They just don't care. What they have in common is, for the most part, they have no ability to control their behavior, no impulse control. And also then when they harm people, they just don't care because they're rather emotionally detached. But there is a big difference, and the difference gets to the origin of them. The psychopath is a function of nature. They are born that way. The psychopath, simply the brain at birth, is hardwired so that they don't have impulse control, and they are actually incapable of emotional or empathetic connection.
Are there any signs of this before they start murdering people?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oftentimes, these individuals, when they're young, will have no affect. Something tragic happens, something sad happens, or conversely, something joyful happens, and they just don't have a reaction to it.
Oh,
that's a red flag. But Sociopaths, on the other hand, are a function of nurture. They are taught to become predators. And so their brains are normal at birth. They function normally. But these individuals tend to suffer tremendous trauma, abuse, neglect, even torture. A great example of this is Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer, who was tortured by his mother. And he ultimately became a sociopathic killer and ultimately killed mom after he killed a number of young women.
You mentioned David Berkowitz, Son of Sam, said the fantasy was better than the actual kill. Was that because he was using a gun and he didn't have hands on?
No. That is also, that's a very good question. Serial killers are either they're focused on the act of killing, which is simply exterminate, shoot, kill, and you're done, or they're focused on the process of killing, which means that they need that tactile gratification. They need to torture and spend time with the victim. BTK was a process killer, needed that tactile gratification. Berkowitz was a act shooter, meaning that he just needed to exterminate life. Why? Because he believed that Papa Sam, Satan, was driving in to kill, so he was just following Papa Sam's orders. And no, it's not because he lacked the time with the victim or the tactile gratification. It's just that in his mind, the rapture that he anticipated by killing, believing that Papa Sam, Satan, would give him the ultimate satisfaction and joy that he was looking for, it just never happened.
We're talking to Dr. Scott Bond, who's going to be hosting Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond at District Music Hall Saturday, March 22nd. If you had to rank the top three serial killers, who would it be and who's number one?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, but I wouldn't rank them in terms of necessarily the number of victims that they had. I mean, you could do that, but I look at it more from the standpoint of their pathology, how twisted they were, what motivated them, and why they were so difficult to apprehend.
John Wayne Gacy has to be in the top three,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I would put him in the top three, but I would actually put Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, number one.
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Night Stalker.
Yeah.
Truly evil. Yeah.
Yeah. And what made him so different, really, is he did not have a type of victim. His type was breathing, because he would just go into a house randomly in Los Angeles and kill whoever and whatever when it was in there. And if you think about that, that's taking the ultimate risk. You don't know what you're going to find in there.
True.
And which is what made him just so unusual, because many of them wanted to control variables. They stalk their victim. They watch them. They want to be in control of all the possible, you know, variables and outcomes. He didn't do that, which made him really, really unusual and a wild card in all of that. So I'd put him number one.
That guy's eyes, too.
Yeah.
When you look at him, you could just see there's nothing but evil in that
total
body.
Evil, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. And number two, I think I would put Bundy, simply because of his ability to just blend in like a chameleon and even be the toast of society. You know, I mean, he was highly regarded. He was in
charming,
political circles.
Very intelligent. Yeah.
Well, the judge.
Very bright guy.
Yeah.
Very bright.
The judge in the trial said during while they were sentencing
him,
he was like, you could have been
apologized to him almost.
Yeah.
And you know, he escaped twice. He was able to escape twice from jail. He was so innovative and resourceful. So, yeah, I'd have to put him at number two. And then number three would probably be Gacy, because he just so incredibly twisted.
Creepy. Creepy.
And he too was rather well regarded. He was the JC Man of the Year one year. He was a businessman who was highly respected, and all the while he was burying bodies under his house.
Yeah.
How many did they find there?
29 under the house.
Oh,
yeah.
Unreal. Damn.
here's a creepy and an unbelievably creepy thought. So when they started excavating, they had no idea how many bodies were down there, and they found more and more and more. And actually, the foundation of the house shook as they excavated these bodies because of the hundreds of millions of worms under the house feeding on these bodies. Yikes. That's a creepy thought for the day.
Yes, thank you. And no spaghetti for me.
Wow.
We're good.
It moved all the earth and moved the foundation.
Earthworms,
that's...
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond, Saturday, March 22nd, District Music Hall, Wall Street, Norwalk. Sounds like it's going to be a great show. We got to get you in studio sometime.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
Thanks for coming on and creeping us out.
Yes.
I like people who are good at what they do.
Yes.
And you're good.
You did it. Yeah. You're good, you.
Thanks, Doc.
My pleasure. Well, I look forward to seeing everyone on the 22nd. Thank you.
All right. We got a studio full of Girl Scouts.
I noticed that.
Let's hear you say hello.
Hello.
Very nice. What do we have here? This is Troop 60776 out of where? Where are you from?
Where are
you from? One just took Wallingford. A mic to the head.
Wallingford.
Wallingford.
That one has a future.
All right.
Future in radio.
Who has sold Girl Scout cookies before? Say me.
Me.
Nice.
All right. Who's the best at selling Girl Scout cookies?
Me.
Wow. All of them.
Yes.
Very good.
Yep.
How do you guys know Ed?
How do we know Ed?
Campbell's dad.
Is that your dad?
Oh.
Yeah, I remember. Well, I knew your dad before you were born.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a much nicer guy now.
Yes, he is.
He's calm and happy. Is your dad a happy guy?
Almost domesticated.
How would you describe your dad? Go ahead, talk it to the mic.
He points the mic.
Yeah, you know, he's pointing a finger.
Right.
Yeah.
No! Who just got you a dog?
Oh, the best.
Oh, you got a dog?
No.
Oh, I got the dog.
Got the dog.
Oh. Trish got the dog.
Oh.
Would you say, how many Star Wars movies have you had to watch?
I've only watched 2.5.
2.5, really? That's it?
That's it?
Right, that's per day, though.
I think you've watched a lot
I
more.
I started last year.
Yeah. Your dad's got quite a Star Wars infatuation.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very nice.
Well, happy National Girl Scouts Day to you all.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for the Girl Scouts. Yay!
Yay! You haven't even saw his room. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's just covered in
this
Star
feels like a future radio show here. Who's this? Is this your friend here?
Yes.
Yeah? The two are friends?
Yeah.
What's your name?
We've had a
What are your names? Introduce yourself.
Lainey.
Campbell.
What is it?
Lainey?
Campbell.
Okay.
The juice box is talking.
She's got the juice box.
Yeah. You said you're talking. Campbell.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to say goodbye because we're going to do a bit we don't want you guys to hear.
Right.
All right. So goodbye, everybody.
And that's why we don't want them in here.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Nice seeing you.
Happy National Girl Scouts Day.
Enjoy the rest of the trip.
Oh, yeah.
No drowning juice boxes.
Yeah, we should have got a picture of them.
Right.
They're in here.
No drowning juice boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Those two are, that's a morning show.
Oh, yeah.
Working.
Oh, yeah. Right there. She jumped behind that mic immediately.
Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to buy cookies, let me know.
Right.
Oh, ooh, all right.
All right. You're the guy.
Yeah, we'll talk it.
You're that guy.
Oh, we really should have had them do their pitch to you.
That would have been awesome. Not.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to wait for the door to close.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
All right.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
Chaz and AJ in the morning. Comedian Vince Barry in studio.
Good morning.
How many Girl Scouts were just here?
That was like 15 or 20, right?
Yeah, easily.
They're around in the hall now. I can't do this.
Yeah. No.
We're moving this one.
You're here tomorrow. We're here tomorrow when there's no kids in the room.
Right.
Or the building.
Let's see. New conspiracy. Mermaids exist and rich people are eating them.
Oh, Lord.
Now that's going to traumatize the little girls, too.
Don't listen, girls.
Right.
Don't listen.
Right. Think tuna fish.
This is a crazy new conspiracy theory.
Yeah, this lady, the stupid thing she talks about here.
And I mean, harvest them the whole nine yards.
Is this a news report or just her on TikTok?
It's her on TikTok, yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. If you haven't seen my first Mermaid and Sirens video, you're not going to understand this video at all. Okay.
They see, now, if you're from a southern state, you're like, see, this right. is these are the weirdos that make the news.
Yeah.
Right. Then everyone makes fun of us.
Fans.
Yeah.
I like that her video starts with, you have to go watch my old stuff.
Right.
Can't jump in on season two.
Back and watch my old stuff.
This ain't Yellowstone.
Okay. They bring this net that had been down at the bottom all day that day up. And he said what he saw inside was like nothing he had ever seen before, probably ever will again if he ever lives to tell the story again. He said that it was like a pasty, whitish-green skin, okay? And the fin, okay, from like the hip bone
So
down.
She didn't even see this.
Right.
She's recounting a story.
What a friend saw. Yeah.
What a friend saw.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And did we talk about how much whiskey this friend had while he was on the boat?
Did I mention a part of all
that? Okay. No, go ahead.
He conveniently also can't talk about it again because he might die.
Right.
She
right,
also
right.
said that.
Of course. Find him, yes.
It was just like the body of a fish and like greenish black hair and wasn't pretty. And it spoke. It spoke. He said that he couldn't understand what language it was speaking in, but it felt like it was begging for its life. And they took this siren to a different warehouse, and it was set up like a restaurant. Come to find out,
It was pasty white.
Pasty white.
And it had black hair.
It sounds
greenish.
Sounds,
greenish hair?
Sounds delicious so far. Yeah.
The greenish hair was seaweed.
Right, it was not okay. Right, 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 right. It's actually a crab.
It was a fish.
Right.
You know, he probably pulled that Billy the...
Oh, Billy Bass.
Billy Bass.
Be happy. Be happy. Right.
They pulled a Billy Bash Bass out of the water.
Give me that fish. Give me that fish. What if it was you hanging out in this net?
And one of them did the Don't Worry, Be Happy, right?
Yeah, that's the original one. Billy Bass.
Take me to the river.
Right.
Take me to the river.
Take me to the river.
Yeah. Did like a montage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Come to find out, these clientele, he had sonar machines and everything to track these things down, okay? Like, stuff that you would not even believe if you saw it. These people, okay, that had him go and catch this thing, and they say it's, like, really common among the wealthy, and they all had their knives and forks and everything else. It was set up like hibachi, sort of. It's one of them things that even presidents don't know about. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what I mean?
Presidents don't know about it.
They had drawn
She's
butter.
She's all over it,
they
though.
Had drawn butter, a piece of corn, and nothing else. The sausage, and they had a fork.
Right.
They had crawfish and everything.
I always take advice.
Silent. You got to say it with a southern accent.
Right, from people that sound like they're the weird girl on the
friends.
Orange is New Black.
Right.
Or
it's
like, my name is Earl.
Things that even presidents don't know about. You know what I mean? Like a secret research island.
It's a secret research. Yeah, what's the research we're doing here? We're researching on how mermaids taste.
They kind of flaky at first. The mayonnaise, make a sandwich.
Yeah, then, you know, there was another time we took this can, and there was a mermaid on the can. And we opened it up, and there was mermaid meat inside the can.
They call it the chicken of the sea, but I know different.
I know different. There ain't no chicken of the sea. That's a mermaid. I know a mermaid when I see
one. Where do you find white meat on a fish? And ain't no chicken, that's mermaid. I don't care if it's Bumblebee, I don't care if it's Star Kids, I don't care if it's Chicken of the Sea, that's Mermaid in a Can.
Oh, this is Jessica Simpson talking. Okay, now we figured it out. She doesn't know what buffalo wings or chicken of the sea
are. And you've been feeding the sea kids all the time. Putting in lunchbox, going in.
You know what tartar sauce is, don't you?
Yeah.
That's mermaid guts.
Exactly. Oh, no. That's why they take the gut and they make it and put some pickle in it.
That's right. Those fish sticks?
Yep.
Those are fingers.
Exactly.
Literal fish fingers.
Yep.
No.
They take the lead press
That's
on
mermaid
nails.
Fingers right there.
Yep, exactly.
You say take off the lead press on nails?
Lead press on them, take them off. And they put panko on it. Roll them flour, next thing you know, you got yourself a fish stick.
Yeah, now would there be different classes of mermaids? Like, these mermaids are from like a nice area.
Right.
And then these mermaids are total hillbillies.
You got your great A.
Hillbilly.
Right, like oysters. There are like real nice ones. And then there's
yeah.
This one brined itself.